We state our mission here at Lawn Baptist as helping people become lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. Helping people become lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. We didn't just make that up. We didn't just steal it from another church. It comes from the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all my commands. Surely I will be with you till the very end of the age." And then in Acts 1:8, it's part of that whole set of conversations. Jesus had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And he said, "When the Spirit comes on you, well, you will be empowered and you will be my witnesses." Right here at home in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we take all of that and wrap it up and say, our job, our mission in this church is to help people locally and globally become lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. I want to say more about it. I want to say more about our philosophy, but especially to you new faces. But I'm going to hold on to that for a little while, another day, so we can get on to some other things. I am particularly burdened about our local ministries. Now, it's no secret that God is bringing more people to us. Look around. Look at the new faces here. The young families and the children and the teenagers. Look at what God is doing right here in our midst. Pretty exciting. I'm feeling like my whole life has led to this point. Now, we've asked for these opportunities, and God is bringing people to us. Now, we are responsible for their development. We are responsible for them. When God brings people to us, we are responsible. They're part of our family. This is God's timing. It is bigger than us. Think about this stage full of kiddos during the kids' message. Lately, there's been 25 to 30 kids up here every Sunday. Now, if that's happening every Sunday, there's at least 50 in that mix. And I see no reason that won't double soon. The nursery's full. This area is still booming. Things are happening. Now, think about these kids and think about the teenagers that we see here around us. And then visualize their kids and the kids of their kids, the next generation and the next generation. That's who we're aiming for. We want to raise these up right so that their children are lifelong followers of Jesus, so that they are committed and faithful to Jesus Christ. I'm catching that. I've read that. I've said it. I'm seeing it more than I ever have in my life, in my mind's eye. That's our job. And we have to do more than just have some teaching programs for kids and youth. We have to do more. We need to help parents disciple their own. I mean, parents, you have your kids way more hours than we can address. We need to help parents train their own. We need to capitalize on opportunities for people of all ages to use your gifting and work together as we learn to become kingdom citizens. We need to train leaders, and we need to start young. We need to reach out to the unchurched in our community with love and with the gospel. And there are lots of those around us. Unchurched people, people who do not know Christ or they're not engaged with his body. Becoming a little more specific here, we need to be willing to spend whatever effort and money to get this right. We are responsible. there are more people coming. I believe we're at the beginning of the movement. This is God's timing, and it will grow as long as we are faithful and on His plan. It's going to go. And He will provide the resources when we're on His plan. He is not lacking. We need to be sure that we have volunteers and staff organized, trained, and available. We need to gather whatever resources are needed and whatever facilities are needed. This is the right time. We are minimally staffed here in this church. You know that. I'm the only full-time paid employee here. And there's good and bad to that. It doesn't really matter. I'm just saying we have to be really good at organizing ourselves, our volunteers, and we may need more staff help. As we recognize that need, we'll address it. Most of all, we need to be flexible and agile, to borrow some terms from the business community. We have to go forward flexibly, with agility, not thinking we don't do it that way here or we've never done it that way here. And we've had that discussion before. We need to get back to a midweek outreach and teaching ministry for children. It's been almost 3 years since we closed the door on kids' time. None of us really wanted to do that. It was a tremendous program, but we did it because we didn't have enough help to do it well. We have to get back to some ministry like that, right here in Lawn, getting the gospel to kids and training them up well. David Hogan keeps telling me, we need to help boys become men and men with a firm foundation. And by the way, David will be calling on a few of you, or I will, to get that rolling soon. Our youth work has been going extremely well. I mean, I'm proud of our youth group. And they're just doing amazing things that will wither if we do not keep up the right leadership, the right effort, and the right resources. We need to build on what we have because we have a really solid group right now. We need to keep building. There's no reason that the size of our youth group wouldn't double. But listen to me. I'm not really concerned about the size of the group. I'm concerned about the people in the group becoming solid kingdom citizens. And I want every kid that comes through this church to at least be able to feed themselves spiritually by the time they graduate. I think that's minimum. There are leaders in our group, and we need to train them and have them ready to launch from here to wherever they go, wherever the Lord takes them, and hopefully some of them will come back home and help us. Adult attendance, you know, it's just growing. The involvement is impressive. It's fun. Lately, we've been running for around 150 to 175 on Sunday morning worship. Really easily could reach 250 right here any day now. But again, I'm not too concerned about the numbers. When I mention numbers, I'm only saying we can influence more people for the kingdom. That's what numbers are about, is to the opportunity to disciple more people. Why wouldn't this church grow? The volunteer builders who helped us build the interior of this building said to us, when we build buildings, if you don't fill it up, we're going to come back and tear it down. We've never consistently filled this room. We need to get busy. The people are here. I mean, the population's here. And God's sending a lot of them to us. We need to be responsible. Listen, we are not trying to become the big church. We're not going the mega church way. We are not going to get a postmodern rock band and hurt your ears. We're not going to go with the health and wealth gospel. We don't want to change our country church persona. It's who we are. But we need to pay attention to what God is doing and join Him and get busy. People need the Lord. People need good teaching. They need people walking along beside them and encouraging them and admonishing them sometimes. Disciples need opportunities to grow and to exercise their spiritual gifts. There's plenty to do. If you do not believe that this is God's movement, then I want you to answer this question. Why Lawn? Why would this movement be happening in Lawn, at Lawn Baptist Church? There are much cooler and trendier and prettier places right down the road. But God's bringing people here. It's His movement. I'm not talking about competing with other churches, but God's bringing people here. And we are responsible to God to help them be lifelong disciples of Jesus. Are you ready? You ready to go? You ready to do? You ready to give? Ready to work? It's going to take all of it. And all of us. Let me address some facility needs and dreams. During the pandemic, we formed a committee to review capital improvement needs. We'd just been kind of rocking along with everything the same for a while, and honestly, some of our facilities needing a lot of repair. And so we formed this group, and no big hurry because we're in the pandemic. Who knows what's coming next, you know, but the group came back to the church with the following priorities. Number one, remodel the East Wing. That's the old sanctuary and classrooms, the red brick buildings. Remodel, renew that space to develop more classrooms. Attention being given to create accessible space for Sunday school and other teaching ministries. So then with that report, we formed another committee to work on the remodel of that wing, and I'm going to come back to that point in a minute. Number two from the first group was do a good cleanup of the Family Life Center, the gym, do it with volunteers, at least remodel the bathrooms there and kind of see what else needs to be done. Third priority was plan for a vehicle storage and maintenance facility, a van barn, but that was... We recognized at the time we needed to postpone it because metal prices were going up and up and up at the time. So we said, not urgent. We'll hold off on that. Number four was address window coverings and maintenance in the parsonage, the red brick house across the road to the east. There's some sheetrock repairs. Lots of little things need to be done. The windows need new coverings. It just needs a good work over so that we have it available for a new youth minister who we need to hire soon. And so we need to bump that one up on the priority, but it's work we can do ourselves and get on with it. Let me come back to the East Wing remodel, which is a big part of the impetus for this meeting. The East Wing Remodel Committee, we need a good acronym for that or something. But they have reached a consensus that we cannot get the space we need from the existing footprint of the East Wing. They, and again, I'm talking about the brick buildings. And this group has begun to dream and to draw up preliminary plans for a new building. And it scares me. And it excites me. As I look at their drawings, and we visited a few other churches recently, God just began to show me it's okay to have good things and nice space for people to come and enjoy. But more than that, it's just a set of tools. We are not, buildings is not our business, but we may need buildings to do the job that God has laid out for us, okay? We need more input in this group. We need more of you to help with that. We need some more time to work. But very soon, very soon, this group is going to be bringing ideas back to you to get that ball rolling. Do not hear me say we've got a bulldozer parked around the corner, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have some dreaming and planning to do, and that is going to speed up. I want to introduce this group to you. You know them, but I just want you to know who they are in this function. And I want to say again, we need more of you involved in that, in the preliminary and in the planning as that moves on. It's just getting, we want to make sure that we cover our bases well and do it well. But the group is David Hogan as chair. Right there. Everybody know David? And I asked David to chair the committee because he knows building, but he knows how to question people, get information, and bring a group to consensus, and that's working. Also with David is Kurt Harrell, Debbie Harris, Cindy Moore. Debbie Harris, Cindy Moore, see children's work in there. And also Keith Whitehurst and Christy Whitehurst. For those of you who have been eagerly awaiting a remodel of the Family Life Center, let me just say it is part of this overall project. We have to determine which space is best for which purposes and then go in stages. Our number one priority in this is accessible, clean, healthy, centralized space for children's ministry. Now, there are a lot of other things that are going to fit around that, but that's the center of it. Accessible, clean, healthy, centralized place for children's ministry, because that's who God has brought to us, and it has generational effects. I don't want to just, I'm talking in generalities a bit. We have some time, so I would like to bring David Hogan up and Kurt as chair of deacons. They're available to address anything here or answer your questions. Before I turn it over to them, do you have a question about anything I've said? You guys want to, you got anything you want to say? You do it. No, you do it.
Both of you get up there.
Come on up.
Yes, sir.
You could go ahead and start naming your next volunteers, I guess, as you look out in the crowd.
Well, I don't know what to add to that, Mark, but I will add that when we first started meeting on the committee and we started talking about facilities, my initial reaction, I got a little scared because growth is no doubt a blessing, but growth can be hard. My initial thought toward growth in building new facilities was, I'll be honest, I'll confess, it was negative. But as we met and we prayed about it more, I mean, like Mark said, God is bringing people to this church, and we have a responsibility. We have a call, and it's what this church's commission is to make disciples. That's really at the heart of it. So I know personally I'm trying to be open-minded to what God wants for this church and the vision for this church. But no doubt we want, desire, everybody's input on this whole process. We don't want it to be a group of people, small group of people making decisions. So if you're not willing to speak up in a group, you heard the list of people, come talk to us individually. If you want to serve on this committee, come let us know. Like I said, this is the initial group. This is the preliminary group of six, but we want to expand that group for sure. So.
I'll reiterate what Mark and Kurt said. If you were listening, I think what you heard Mark say, or at least what I've heard over and over, and I know what his heart is that the driving force, the emphasis, is what we're called to do as a church for our church body and for the people in our community. And the tools that we use to get that done is going to be part of the process. I know some of the people on the committee have not personally given me a hard time, but a lot of times when we open in prayer, and if I'm the person that does that, I always pray that we have unity in the church and that there's not any divisiveness. And afterwards, somebody is always quick to say, oh, I don't think we're going to have any divisiveness. And I want to hear you. I don't feel like we would have divisiveness, but if we're on the brink of reaching our community and we're on the brink of growth, and if there are things happening where God's calling us to action, I can guarantee you that the opposition will be looking for any chink in our armor or any place where we can be slowed down for what God's calling us to do. So talking about input, like Kurt said, one of my main philosophies when working with people is you get as many ideas as you can and you put them on a wall and you throw darts at them, right? And they're like balloons and you winnow down the ideas, and there's a distilling process of, you know, the more people you have involved, the more ideas are presented and the better ideas we get down to. So I don't think it's a hollow request in any case from Mark or Kurt when we ask for input, because there's going to be things that we have no clue how to do on that committee, and we're going to need everybody in the church to do that. So I guess the last thing I'll say is I've kind of been thinking about, you know, what is our mission and what is our call? And if you look at our website and if you've listened to Mark, you know, there's the four things that disciples do and the things that we're called to. But if you look historically what God's people have been told to do, you know, Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And then after the flood, Noah and his family were told the exact same thing: be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And then if you look at the Israelites and their commands, and then the verses that Mark talked about a few minutes ago about what our command is to be disciples and to make disciples and to go out, I don't think there's any call in the Bible where we've ever been told to just be complacent, look inward, and tend to ourselves and ourselves alone. So as you think about this and as it rolls out over the next few months, or according to Christy, 3 days, we just ask you to pray about it. And more than that, we would ask you to be involved and to be a part and to kind of force your way into it, right? If you have ideas or if you have opinions or vision for that you would make yourself a part of it and you would make time in your life to be a part of it. Mark will now take any questions if you have those. Do y'all have any questions? I should have asked that.
I'll ask one.
Go for it.
So, and obviously y'all thought about it, Mark addressed it and everything else, but do y'all have a plan yet for maintaining the culture, maintaining the country church, maintaining that small town?
So this is completely off the cuff, and it was just floated at one of the last meetings. Can I tell them about the porch? Is that okay? So part of the conversation is how do we use the gym area, the classrooms upstairs. If you've ever, as an adult, had a small group meeting in one of those rooms, it's literally a small group meeting, right? The chairs are 16 inches high. But part of it is how do we use that space? And the conversation, or some of the ideas, have been to expand it to the east a little bit. And, you know, what would that look like with classrooms or as a front? And just the conversation was, you know, how great would it be if we had a like a Cracker Barrel front porch over there, right? The small country church where people could come and have coffee in the morning, the place where we could sit out and visit and fellowship. So I think that is, there's a very large emphasis on not being the biggest thing in lawn, but the thing that still looks like lawn. Is that kind of what you were asking as far as building wise or?
No, I meant culturally.
Like culturally.
Within the community, within the spirit, within the heart, right? So obviously God will handle it. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I think it's an excellent question. I don't have any magic plans. I think mostly we need to be ourselves and not try to be somebody else. We don't need to do that. We don't need to, and I could name other churches that we don't need to be like, but there's no point in that. We just need to be ourselves, and God brought you here, and we just need to keep being who we are.
What else? Awkward silence is good. It causes questions.
I was going to say, since we have the youth in here, I mean, you young individuals, that input request goes out to you as well. So, you guys, I know some of y'all have opinions.
Sure. Going once? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your provision. We don't want to take for granted the fact that you provide everything that we need there. We breathe the things that you supply our families with, and the facilities and the resources that we use as your church here in this community. Pray that you would be glorified and there would be much made of you in the coming years here in Lawn. As we've already talked about this morning, the people that are that we've lost this week, pray that you would encourage us as the members of the church to look back. I pray that we would look at the examples of the servants that you've placed in this church, and we would look at the service that they've provided over the years, and we would look at their diligence with resources and their forward thinking, and they're looking ahead. And I pray that that would be encouragement to us as the generation in this church that's going to be moving ahead for the next 50, 60, or 100 years. And I pray that we would think far ahead. I pray that you would put on our minds the things that we need to be diligent about and the things that we need to make time in our schedule for. And I pray that we would not overlook the resources that you've given us, especially with the youth and our children. I pray that you would give us a burden to pour into their lives, and that we would tend to the resources and tend to the work that needs to be done for your kingdom to be forwarded in their lives. We pray for our time this morning in worship service. Pray for our time in fellowship before service and afterwards. We pray that you would be glorified in our conversations. We just ask especially for Mark, so he opens your word, that you would speak through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've got time to grab another cup of coffee, I think.